Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. 12 minutes past the hour, 43 degrees and light rain here in the Marion area. All kinds of interesting stuff going on. Now, I said this hour that there was something I was holding from last hour that I did want to talk about. But by the way, just to recap the news from last hour, talking about the Marion Star going to postal delivery on Eclipse Day, April the 8th. That means there will be no more home delivery of the Marion Star unless you get it through the mail, the post office. And I don't know what that means for news, rec, sales. I don't know if that's going to go on or not. That really hasn't been explained, but we'll find out as things go on. And also talking about the eclipse, which we were yesterday morning, is this going to be as big a deal as we think it is, or is it just going to be another day where we don't notice much going on? I don't know. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Is it a big deal that the Marion Star is going to go to postal delivery, as I said, in hour number one? I think it has more to do with the delay of the news in mailing out a newspaper, because there's a lot that goes into a newspaper. You've got to write the story, print the paper, and then put it in the mail. So that's going to take a little bit of time, but we shall see how that all shakes out starting on April the 8th. And again, if you have something to say in regard to the solar eclipse, is it going to be bigger than we think? Is it going to be smaller than we think? The phone lines are also open with that, 740-751-4038. I really still don't understand the whole $500 a spot in the field, $100 a spot in the field. You know, that's all going to be what it's going to be, and we'll see what happens with that. Now, the story that I was holding off last hour, talking about until this hour. Now, and this is going to be vague, but I'll tell you why it's going to be vague. It has to be vague at this point. Now, as I've been saying recently, you know, I think of my life right now as kind of things falling out of the air. You know, just when something good happens and then it's over, something else good falls out of the air. That's kind of how, that's the philosophy of my life right now. So, as I've said, we've been on kind of a great run here lately, really for quite a while. I mean, we had the fair last year, the Marion County Fair, which went great. And then we had the big event with Governor Celeste over at Mary Ellen's Museum. I think that was in late July. And then we had our broadcast from the Bratwurst Festival in August. That was a lot of fun. And then we had our events here on election night at the studio, which I think were the best ever, in November. And then in December, we had the two Christmas tree lightings. We lit the Christmas tree here in Marion and in Caledonia. We had the fruitcake toss, which had the best turnout we've ever had. We had a Scott Spears Day. That was very nice on Mayor Schertzer's behalf. Then we went into Groundhog Day with Miss Ohio being part of that and getting national attention for that. And then we went on to the Mary Ellen Withrow event last weekend, where we went to the schools and spoke to 2,500 people in 2 days and had a reception. And that made national news in the front page of the Marion Star. So you think to yourself, well, what's next? We've done that, and we've been on quite a roll here since really last summer. Well, I would love to tell you what's next, but here's what I can tell you so far, and I'll tell you why I can't tell you exactly what it is. Now, there's something in the broadcasting journalism business. It goes for newspapers as well as television, radio, so on and so forth. And it's called an embargo. The term is embargo. Now, this is why I can't talk about this. And I'll explain what this term means. I don't know if people know what an embargo in journalism means. But basically, an embargo is they go around talking to people about something, but it's only a certain group of people. And they tell the people that thing, and I have to be very careful how I say this, they tell the people that thing on the agreement that they will not say anything until the news is released. So, that's what an embargo is. Here's what happened. This is what I can tell you. Last week, I got a phone call from somebody who has been on this show. It was off the air. And basically, they said, all they said was you're going to be getting a phone call in regard to something. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. But when you get the phone call, you're going to know what it is. Okay. That was last Tuesday, I think. Okay. Saturday morning, I got a phone call. And I knew exactly that it had to do with this person. Well, I talked to this person on Saturday. And to be honest with you, it was a very short conversation on Saturday. And I really didn't even understand what it meant or what it was. So it was short, kind of, we'll keep you in the loop, and that was kind of it. Okay, that was Saturday. Then on Monday, I got a call back from the original person, and they said, have you got the phone call? And I said, well, yes, it did come on Saturday, but I really don't know anything more than I knew in the beginning, which is nothing. Nothing was really explained. Okay. So this person says, hold on, I need to make a phone call. So they make a phone call. They call me back that night and they say, you're going to be getting a phone call tomorrow, which would have been yesterday. So last night at about 8:30, I get a phone call from the person who called on Saturday. And they were much more, they explained what this is all about much better. Gave me a better idea of what this actually, this whole week of phone calls and messages had to do with. But under the pretense that it is embargoed and I cannot talk about it until they talk about it. So the deal is, I cannot say anything until they say it. I can't make any announcements until they do. But what I will say is, this is one of the biggest things I think that's probably ever happened in my career on the whole. And if it pans out correctly, as the phone call went last night, it'll be something that very unique. And I will say this, I would scour a lot of different places, not just Marion, Ohio, to say that I don't think anything like this maybe has happened to somebody in this area. Not to my knowledge. So, I wish I could tell you more. And I do know more at this point. Apparently, we're going to continue to have conversations and negotiations today and tomorrow. But that's what I know. It came from the phone call last night. So, I know I can't talk about it until they say it. But when the announcement comes, I'll tell you what happened, and I'll give you all the details and explain to you what it was all about. But I didn't want to come on and not say anything, so this is about the best I can say at this point because of the information being embargoed. And I'll tell you when they announce it, and we'll go from there and see what happens. But it's going to be a very interesting time, to say the least. And it's one of those things, again, that's just kind of fallen out of the sky that I would never have believed this would have happened in all my life. When I got the phone call last night and it was finally explained to me what it was all about, I was shocked. I was shocked. I thought, you know, how does that happen to somebody from Marion, Ohio? I've had a very, 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 very lucky career. You've heard me say this more than once. I'm a lucky person. But this was very unexpected and very kind of, it's very high tier. Let's put it that way. So that's all I can say. I wish I could tell you more, but I'm under the embargo until this organization, company, whatever you want to say, makes the announcement. And until then, I can't tell you anymore. So there you go. 740-751-4038. So if I haven't totally confused you at this point, I'm sure that was confusing. 740-751-4038. But I'll tell you this, and I'll elaborate more on this as time goes on. You know, when you're growing up thinking about things that could happen one day, you know, you think, wow, that's never going to happen, but my goodness, what if that did happen? And this is one of those things. This is one of those moments. And it just kind of fell out of the sky last night. There it is. I would have never guessed it. And I'm excited to be able to tell you about it when it happens, but right now I still don't have any confirmation on when that will be. And we also have not had the negotiations yet, to be honest with you. So who knows? I might be coming back to tell you nothing's going to happen. But we are in negotiation at this point. I can say that much. We're in negotiations. After last night, the negotiations started. So we'll see how the negotiations go. And then we'll go from there. But you know what else last night it made me think about when this whole thing came out of the blue? What it made me think about was, again, what Mary Ellen said last Friday. The time is never going to be right. It's never going to be the right time. You just have to go for it. You've always got things going on in your life, and there are always people in your life who need you and want you to be around and all that sort of thing. But you got to go for it. If you want to go for it and you want it, nothing is going to be perfect. So we'll see. Who knows? It could be announced later on today, and then I could tell you about it. I doubt it's going to be that fast because we haven't negotiated it out yet. But I can tell you, as of the phone call last night, I would consider that the start of negotiations. So we'll see what happens today. I don't know how fast these things move. But if you want to ask anything, or you want to talk about the eclipse, or you want to talk about the newspaper going to postal delivery, feel free. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, because the reason I'm being so vague is there actually is an embargo put on this information, which basically means in journalism, I cannot talk about it until it's a done deal. And you know what? Honestly, it feels like a done deal. It's just negotiating the logistics of it that is kind of what it's all about. 740-751-4038. All right. Go ahead, caller.
The way I get the digest of that, it might seem like it pertains mostly and only to you, because the word we and negotiations kind of lead up to something that's going to benefit you.
Well, you know what I can tell you about it is certainly the call came directly to me, and certainly the negotiations are pretty much with me at this point, but the negotiations, part of that will involve a couple other people. So there are other people involved, but the direct negotiations and the direct call came to me. The other people will just kind of be I would say more along for the journey of this. Right place, right time.
And the age group of that would be under 40.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yep.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, no problem. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, I kind of have to run that through my mind now. Now, is it all, are all the people under 40? The majority. There might be one person in there over 40. Maybe. I don't know. The negotiation, to be honest with you, I've never been in a negotiation like this, so I don't really know. I guess we'll see how the negotiation goes, and then I can be a little more to the point with this whole little story. And I hate to be vague, because being a news person, you always want to have the facts and tell people what you know. Well, this is, I know more, but I just can't say more, because when you're placed under one of these things, it's not proper to say more. Journalistic integrity, as it were. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But I will say this. I think it has a lot to do with, again, the right group being around at the right time. I think, I don't know that all this would have happened had it been a different group of people. So, I guess in the long run, you look back at things and you say, well, you know, it's kind of good that some people are no longer around and new people came in. And I think that's just, because, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that we would have gone the route we went with some people around here had there not been openings because of other people leaving. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. But I'm also not sure that what happened, the phone call I got last night, would have happened if we hadn't made those changes. So, I guess that's about as best I can tell you at this point. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But should it all pan out? Should the negotiations go well? You know, I think it's going to be a very unique ride, and certainly something I never expected I'd be doing, but that's that. 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. We can talk about the postal delivery of the Marion Star starting on April 8th, Eclipse Day. We can give your thoughts on the eclipse, get your thoughts on the eclipse. We can talk about Super Tuesday last night. Anything at all that's on your mind, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I will tell you this. When the phone call came in last night and I'm having this conversation with this person, I actually thought to myself at one point, I thought, is this conversation really happening? Is this really a thing? Because it came in so late. It was like 8:30. Normally, you don't get business calls like that at 8:30 at night. And I was thinking, my goodness, how in the world? And the first thing they said when they called, I hope I'm not calling you too late. No, 8:30 wasn't too late. But, wow. You know, you'll understand more when I'm able to talk about this. But, again, another thing falling out of the sky that is positive. 740-751-4038. 30 minutes past the hour here. 30 minutes left to go in the broadcast this morning. So again, if there's anything on your mind, please feel free to give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you. Always good to hear from the listening audience on anything that's on your mind. Jessica Hauser back on Friday morning from 9 until 11. Go ahead, caller.
I missed all that, Scott. So are you still going to be in Marion?
Well, you know, honestly, I I don't know, because we have not negotiated. You missed the whole confusing spiel there that I gave.
I did.
Well, I can boil it down in case somebody else is just tuning in. Basically what happened, I got a phone call last night I never expected to get in my life. It's one of those things you don't expect to happen. And basically it was the start of negotiations. Now, negotiations are supposed to start today, but the deal is that I can't talk about it. I had to agree to that last night, that it's under an embargo. That's what they call it in journalism. It's under an embargo until they announce it. I can't say anything until they announce it. And plus, we haven't negotiated yet. So it's not a done deal. So I don't know. I think some of it would still be... Some of it would still have to do with Marion, but it certainly has to do with other areas as well. The company that I was dealing with is not based in Marion, I'll say that.
Okay. So hypothetically, if someone were to engage in this, they would not be located in Marion. Hypothetically.
You know, I don't know. I can't honestly... You're talking about moving somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I would do that. I mean, I certainly would have to travel. I can say there would be travel involved.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know that I would move. I don't know. Well, maybe people would want me to move. Maybe get out. Get out. We've wanted you to go for years. It's time for you to go.
It's your opportunity.
But you know what? I'll tell you, as funny as it is, I never thought anything like that would happen. In the back of my mind, I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's something I don't know. I mean, who knows? Depends on how the negotiations go, I guess.
Well, good luck.
Well, it's just fun. You have any more information? What do you think about the Marion Star going to postal delivery?
Man, the 10 people that still subscribe to the Marion Star are going to have to wait 3 days to get outdated news.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what's interesting about the whole thing is that when I read this morning, I thought, you know, this is not good. Now, of course, the story has a good spin put on it, but I'm not sure what this means exactly on the whole. I really don't. It can't be good.
It means the death of a dying newspaper, which is, unfortunately, I mean, I'm an advocate for real news and... You know, real journalism, but that's not what we have. We have corporate control over our newspapers that just dispel the same stories. So, I mean, it's just gonna fall into the dustbin of history, I think.
Well, I wonder if it seems to me like they're trying to be a magazine instead of a newspaper. That we're going to do feel-good stories, we're going to do profiles, we're going to do that sort of thing, and that's why it won't matter if it comes 3 days later. So
who's going to subscribe to that? I mean, what is their subscription base now? It can't be much of anything.
Well, no, I mean, they say that in the article, that the subscription base is basically online readers anyway at this point.
Yeah.
But the people who still want a hard paper, we're going to mail it to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what newspapers were intended to be. I mean, if you compare, and I encourage people, go pull up a Marion Daily Star from 1900. You know, you can go to the library and view them on microfilm or view them online through subscription service. And, I mean, it's just, there's no comparison. I mean, it's laughable that what passes today for a newspaper...
Well, you know what's strange to me? I would have thought... See, now, what I believe the evolution would have been... I always believed that the hard copy would go away just because that's the digital age and that's where we're going. But what shocked me was, even in the digital, online, they don't have a reporter. They're not even doing local news online at this point. Even online, it's all kind of... personality profiles and Marion made and all this sort of thing. Very little. Find the last time there was a city council story in there.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's the death of journalism. There is nobody out there reporting, or very few people, I should say, reporting on what's going on at the local level. And, you know, it's a travesty. It really is. I mean, how are you supposed to have good governance and active involvement of the citizenry if nobody really knows what's going on except for a handful of people, and majority of them have a vested interest in keeping other people in the dark?
Well, like I said, I just never thought, I mean, like I said, it costs a lot of money to print a newspaper, and if you don't have a lot of people subscribing, I get that. That could do away with the hard copy. But if they are having online subscriptions, I mean, they're making some money there. They couldn't afford one reporter just to cover city council, county commissioners, things like that. They couldn't have one full-time, just to put it online. I mean, I would think that would behoove them. I don't quite understand. That's what I never thought would happen. I thought eventually, yes, the paper copy would go away. But I never thought that they would do away with reporters altogether. And that's confusing to me.
That's all. It's all part of the tearing down of what this country was. I mean, you've admitted it yourself or stated on prior broadcasts that, you know, if somebody had good information that they wanted to share discreetly, most of your newspaper outlets and reporters, journalists would choose not to publish it. Or maybe it's because of their editorial staff. But they're all corporate owned. I mean, 90% of all media in this country is owned by like five or six corporations. So they're putting out the same thing. They're not going to want somebody on the ground doing real investigative journalism, because, you know, it's probably going to run afoul of the power structure.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting, though, because I've had a front row seat of this for 22 years here in Marion. And when I came to it, believe it or not, the Star had many reporters. Matter of fact, dedicated reporters that just did city council and county commissioners and news stories and so on and so forth. And at that point, we had at least three commercial radio stations, maybe four. No, I think we had four when I first came here. Got on the air. But interestingly enough, what I saw happen, where the deterioration happened was, as I said, because everything you said is exactly true. But what happened was, I honestly don't know that the corporations were leaning on people not to do these stories. But what happened was, is somewhere along the line, people got the idea, because everybody wants to be loved. If you are on a music station, if you are on any kind of radio station, if you are on in the newspaper, all of a sudden you wanted to be loved. This whole group of people came in that was totally concerned with love and good news, and we've got to promote our community as a very positive place. And I'm all for that. I'm not against that. But when you do a story that, like we did with the mayor, and again, I'm sure maybe he's still not happy with us. I really don't know. I haven't run into him. But when you do that type of story, even though it's true, out of the auditor's mouth, it causes people not to be necessarily lovey and cuddly towards you. And also, it's that type of thing. I'm sure it ticks his family off and people who like him. So that's what happened. So a lot of people in the media in this town got they started playing ball. You know, it was no longer inside sources. Having an inside source who sends you things, there's nothing wrong with that, being friends with that type of person. That's what you want. And you want to be friends with people who come on and are guests, but you got to ask tough questions. And what ended up happening was, I mean, I heard, and I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to embarrass the person, but I heard people say, well, how this reporter for the Star was one of the best reporters they ever had. Well, you know, that person, I don't know, ever asked a question, and if they did, it was few and far between. They would go to the meetings and report on what happened, but there was never a follow-up. And I don't know what happened there. People, just wanted to be loved. People wanted to be popular. I don't know. It really caused... I know there were... And I, again, not to out anybody, but I know that there were radio stations that would have the mayor on, Mayor Schertzer, when he was mayor, but gave him the mandate, you can't talk about politics. Okay, you got the mayor on, and you're not going to ask him anything political because we don't do that here. That's not what we're about. We're about fun. We're about good things. Well, you can be about fun and good things, but you better have some news in there somewhere.
Right, and that's why they're failing. I mean, it's the difference between a real, legit journalist and a propagandist. I mean, if you're just covering the positive and trying to spin perception, that is a propagandist. And that's why they're failing. I think there is a genuine, among a fairly substantial segment of the population that really yearns for the truth and that wants to know what's going on. But and then you have the other people that, you know, head in the sand and they just want to deny reality and don't care to know what's going on. But that's why these newspapers are failing, and it's not just the Marian Star. Look around the country. A lot of these publications are either going online-only format or they're going under entirely, and that trend will continue. But it is a far cry. Again, Americans do not have any concept of history or historical perspective. They only know what they themselves live, and it's, you know, pretty much with blinders on. But if you look back, every town, I'm telling you, every town, Scott, had a Republican newspaper, a Democrat newspaper, and an independent newspaper back in the day. And they all had very heavy reporting on local news and local stuff.
Well, and you know, well,
now we have nothing.
Well, and I just so this isn't all doom and gloom today with the postal delivery being announced for the Marian Star. One thing I do want to say is that I do know that there are still, and this will sound like clapping the station on the back, but I do know that there are people in journalism who still don't care what other people think. They're still going to report the story either the way they see it or the way they have it, the best discernible version of the facts that they have at the time. And I'll call those people out by name. They are Pastor Craig. They are Linda. They are Carrington. They are Matt. They are Adam. They, whether you like these people or disagree with them or don't disagree with them, they all still do that if you listen to the shows that they're on. They give their real opinion, they give their unvarnished opinion, or they give the facts and then they comment on them. So it's still happening in Marion. It's not all music and digital papers yet. So I hope that continues. I know it'll continue here. I don't think we're going anywhere. So, you know, it hasn't gone away. It's just other places, I think, found it friendlier to be promoting Marion. And I don't know that that's the job of journalism. I think that's the job of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, to promote Marion. I don't know when it became journalism's job to be pro-Marion. You don't have to be anti-Marion, but just report on what's going on.
Right. But again, it's not just Marion. It's this country. It's endemic across this entire land. And that's why that's why I appreciate your station and, you know, respect what you guys do. But unfortunately, that is not going on in other communities. And, you know, we're all the worse for it, I think. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's why some of these independent media outlets online are having success, even if they're just blogs and things like that, is because it's a outlet for the truth and not propaganda, not filtered, not censored. Too much of our society is that. So it's refreshing. I think that's why a lot of them have found success, because people do want that. They do want to have that outlet for real news, real journalism, and the truth, or at least as close to the truth as you can get.
Well, and I think I've talked about this before, and I think it bears repeating on this day that the Marion Star has announced that they're going to go to postal delivery on April the 8th. One thing also that happened was, and I even see this online, and it's kind of interesting, the online things, and I'm not critiquing what they do as far as journalism goes. You know, some of them are good, some of them are bad. I mean, people hopefully know one from the other. But the idea is that what's fascinating to me is that I don't know that they're always trying to, I think they're kind of nose up in the air about everything. I don't think they're really interested in having a real conversation about anything. I think they get the press release and they print the press release, or they listen to the scanner and they print what's on the scanner. And I think that's what they're doing. And I don't think it's really necessarily all about the facts. And I think that's very unfortunate. I think that more real conversations would be helpful. I think there's a lot of jealousy online going, because people love the likes, people love the thumbs up, people love all that stuff. And I think it's, I just think at some point you've got to be completely honest in what you're doing. Now, if it hurts somebody else's feelings, that wasn't the intention. But it's just the way it was. And I think some of these online things, there's phoniness. I guess that's the best way to put it. There's a phony atmosphere there that they create, for good or bad, that, you know, we are here to do what we do, and this is who we are. Well, that's not always the case. And I can say one thing about us, and this is why a lot of people get angry at times. We're certainly not phony.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would agree with that. And did you ever look at those documents that you were handed?
Yes. Yeah. You know, a matter of fact, I had a conversation last night with somebody about those documents. You know what? I'm glad. While you're on the line, I'll give you a little insight. I'm not going to tell you exactly what's in them yet, because that'll eventually become a thing. But I'm having an interesting conversation about these. I have no doubt that they're true. They certainly are authentic. So the story in there clearly is authentic. And the person who brought it, here's the problem at this particular point with these documents and why it's taking so long to get it to the air. Because here's what happened. And again, this is just journalism 101, I think. The documents came to me from a person I had never met prior to getting these documents. And it was made very clear that this person does not want to be linked to these documents, which that's fine. Anonymous sources happen all the time. That wasn't the problem. So, recently, I ran into somebody, and I said, basically, it was just, we need to get you on the show. That's basically pretty much what the conversation was. And the person said, I might have heard through the grapevine about something you got recently. And I can't confirm that's exactly what they were talking about, but I certainly don't know what else they'd be talking about. And this document does kind of pertain to them. So, you know, you take one and one and get two, and I'm pretty sure that's what was going. Now, I don't think it's become public knowledge what's in these documents, but I think, and I don't know for sure, but clearly the person who gave me the documents told this person who is involved, that they gave me the documents. So now, I'm not sure if it was done to help somebody or if it was done to get the news out. So that's kind of the yin and yang. Is it true? Yes, I believe the documents are authentic. But was it done to knock somebody out who it might benefit somebody else? That I don't know.
So is that what's keeping you from releasing it?
Yeah, at this point, because I want to know better exactly what happened. Was it done to, you know, knock the legs out of somebody, even though it's true? Was it done to knock the legs out from somebody who you think might be a threat to a friend of yours? Was that why it was done? Because if that's why it was done, I don't know that that was the right motive. Because I think that I think the person who gave them to me was very nice and very honest. I could tell. But I just don't know. It's one of those things where is somebody nervous? You know, is somebody worried? And is that why we're doing this? Maybe not. Maybe it isn't.
Do you think they're authentic and you think that they're truthful?
I think the documents are certainly authentic and truthful, and I think that the person who gave them to me went through a lot to do it. But I don't know if it was done to take somebody out or if it was or hurt somebody, I guess is more to the point. I don't know if it was done more to hurt somebody, to help somebody else. I guess that's it. Because clearly running this story is not going to be a positive story. So it, regardless, it probably is going to make somebody unhappy. But was the
we don't care about that, Scott. We're about truth.
Well, truth is fine. But you know what? In any political campaign, and we can go to the presidential political campaign at this point, if somebody walks into your newsroom from the opposite campaign and says, here's some information on candidate B, who I'm running against, and this is really going to knock them out of the water, even if it's absolutely true, that newsroom is going to take a good hard look at running that. Because is that what was the motivation there?
Why does motivation matter?
Because motivation.
Does the public have an interest in this, the outcome of this race?
Well, I think the public has an interest in any race.
Okay, so
but
they
I think
they have an interest, and if it is relevant to what's going on, I mean, I'm not talking about some, you know, completely irrelevant topic. So if it's an issue of relevancy, then I would say that editorial discretion should be used. If it is relevant and we know that they have an interest, then I think that you should put it out there. I mean,
well, I'm not saying I won't.
Of whatever the motivation of the person that provided it to you.
Well, I haven't decided not to put. I mean, I certainly at some point it'll have to be done. I mean, to be honest, because it's a story, it's verifiable, it came from a source. I mean, at some point it's got to be run. But it in the back of your mind, it always is the idea. I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever told this story, and again, you always try to keep the names quiet. And this happened many, many years ago, so this is not a recent thing. But I was working at another radio station, so this has been more than 10 years ago. And I was doing a show, and it was during an election. You know, people get sharp elbowed at an election. It was during an election, and I didn't even have the person on at that time. I just had, it was just, there was an election going on. Let's put it that, a big election, local election. And during one of the breaks of my show, the phone rings. And normally that didn't happen during the break. Normally that happens while you're on the air. So the phone rings during the break. And I pick it up, and the person never told me who it was, and to this day, I really don't know who it was. But basically, the person said, I have some information about this candidate that is absolutely verifiable about their personal life. And basically told me what they were doing. So, now, it's true, and this person's willing to give it to me. It clearly is going to damage that person, certainly on a local level, right before an election or in an election year. Now, do you run that?
Is it like tabloid level stuff?
Well, I didn't. I tell you what, my rule of thumb back then was I didn't run it because, to be honest with you, I didn't understand what the person's love life had to do with the election.
Right. That would be, I mean, the only other consideration I would put, and that goes to relevancy. I think that if it's something that shows an insight into their character.
But wouldn't you say, though, some would say we should have known about JFK. That's news. Some would say we certainly knew about Bill Clinton. That hurt him. That was news. Some people would say we need to know about Donald Trump. That's news. Hush money.
I mean, I agree. I mean, it's a very thin line, I suppose, on what impacts character. And I don't know what the substance of the documents that you received are, but I would say if it is, you know, the public has an interest in the outcome of the election, if the information is relevant to the decision of who they're going to select, you know, I don't know. I think that you have a duty to put that out there.
I have no, honestly, in the back of my mind, I know I will put it out. But
are you going to wait until after the election, though?
Is
that what your thought is?
You know, I don't.
Yes.
No.
Oh, I caught
no,
you,
Scott. I don't think so. I really don't think so, because it would be irrelevant. Well, I don't know that it'd be irrelevant, but it would certainly wouldn't be as relevant. But I guess it's the way to put it out is really where we are. And you know what? Would people believe it? I don't know. I you know, even when you have the news, sometimes people don't want to believe the news media because they say, you know, why are you doing that? I don't know. It's a weird world to live in.
Well, that's fair, but you know, you just disclose honestly the circumstances surrounding, you know, how you obtained it, and preface everything that this is what I received, and this is the corroborating evidence or whatnot, and let people make their own decisions.
Well, do you remember back, and you know, I hate to bring this touchy subject up with a minute and a half to go, but do you remember back? I don't know if you were listening then when we were talking about abortion rights in Ohio. And that was a big topic. And I had said one morning, I said, you know, abortion, we're talking about it all the time because this is what this is what's on the ballot. And if I know somebody had, if I know absolutely that they did, why can't I report on that? Because obviously, clearly, they had to tell me, or how else would I find out? And number two, doesn't that humanize this whole issue? Now, maybe you still don't want abortions, but doesn't it humanize it? And instead of us just talking third party all the time, well, you know, I heard of a person or this or that, to actually put a face with it. People don't like that, even though it's true, even though it's certainly relevant. Certainly we were all talking about abortions, but to do it, people don't like it because they feel that you're trying to hurt that person, when that is not it at all. You're reporting on the relevancy of what's going on with 15 seconds to go. What do you think?
And that's how we become cheerleaders and propagandists.
Well, hopefully not for long.
Is when you're like, oh, I don't want to say something if it's going to like offend my corporate overlords or somebody in the community or some politician.
You're listening to The Talking Place.
You have to do what's right.
The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
And for this day, we're heading for the Duchess.
Is it, how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real.